Welcome to My Stories of Chinese Characters podcast series. I'm Uncle Hanze, and this is Adam. And this week we went to Chengdu, which is in Sichuan.
Oh, man, that was awesome. Oh, I'm such a foodie. That was so cool. You know,
Sichuan, everybody in the world knows about Sichuan Cai or Sichuan restaurants. In America, we all know about Sichuan restaurants. It's like a kind of like special food.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like growing up in America, Sichuan food is like prevalent in the U.S. They're not authentic at all, but there is something. It's just the fact that the original recipe of Kung Pao chicken is so good that everyone in the world loves it. And it was a real pleasure to learn how to make it. And I tried doing it, honestly, at home, but I think you have to add like alcohol, right, to burn the chicken. And I don't know. I can't remember. Was I supposed to use isopropyl alcohol?
Ethyl alcohol.
I'm sorry.
Isopropyl. You'd kill yourself.
I know. I'm sorry.
In China, if you're going to cook with alcohol, you can either cook with beer and give it a beer taste. Or you can cook with baijiu and give it it's just like plain ethyl alcohol, which is drinkable. Isopropyl alcohol, right. That's what Americans rub down with when they're, when their muscles are sore.
Clean a wound.
Yes.
I used a really cheap baijiu, and I think that was the problem. I should have used something that was really recommended for cooking. So it didn't taste as good.
In America, when people think of Sichuan food, they think of hot and hot only. In China, right. When they think of Sichuan food, they think of ma la. La means hot, like as we know it in America with like hot peppers. Ma is a spice that Americans have never seen until maybe around 2000, and probably even now many Americans have never seen. Ma is a very special word, very special to me.
So in what way?
Okay, number one, I analyze ancient characters. And so the character for ma, it originally meant hemp or flax. Both of them are plants. Okay. They're very closely related, and we make clothes from them. And if you analyze the Chinese character, the modern character is totally wrong. The modern character has what looks like a building. That's wrong. And underneath it has what looks like a forest character. That's wrong. The original what looks like a forest character comes from a character called Pai, which is a pictograph of some flax or hemp. And you can see that it's like a plant from which you strip fibers from. And on the top, the thing that looks like a building in modern Chinese, it's actually a sickle, which you use to cut the flax or which you use to cut the hemp. But the word ma in Chinese is very interesting. I never tasted it until about 1995 when I had some Sichuan friends who snuck some into the United States.
You have to sneak it into the United States? Why do you have to sneak a flavor into the United States?
We have the FDA. That means Food and Drug Administration. And if it has a name like Ma, which is like Da Ma, marijuana, or Ma Zui, which means anesthetize, it scares the Americans. They don't understand what it actually is. So they make it against the law. And so we have to sneak it into the United States. Let me explain further. Ma is a taste. And it numbs the tongue, so it kind of like resembles, Novocaine a little bit. There are three plants that are common in China. Number one is huajiao, number two is majiao, number three is tengjiao. They all have about the same taste, but they're different plants.
Okay. So that's, so let's be clear. So in the cuisine, we're getting the numbing effect of the tongue. What is causing that? Can you, what part of the food, is it, I know it's a season, but is it like those little balls?
Yes, it looks like kind of, to be crude, it looks like little balls. Yes.
And you liked, I've seen you actually on the trip, you actually just started like eating those, only those. Now, can we move on to hot pot? Because hot pot, of course, is huge in China, everywhere, so many types. I can't get away from hot pot no matter where I go. We were in Sichuan, we had Sichuan hot pot. What's the difference with other hot pots? Like, what do we need to take away? Is it the ma? What's going on there? What makes Sichuan hot pot so awesome?
Well, you know, when I look at the world, I look at everything through Chinese characters. The word hot pot is like huo guo, which means fire pot. But the word pot, guo, it has a metal on the side. Well, the traditional character has a bone, which, you know, you put some bones in a hot pot, in a pot of water, and boil it. But hot pots, well, I like them, but they take a lot of time. You know, you gotta like sort out the hot stuff, which I don't like, from the rest of the stuff.
The phenomenon of the hot pot is that, you gather around one bowl, you're putting different things in there, and you all share in it. And I think that it's the bonding of that that's kind of cool. So it's a very unique and
Yes,
hot
and
pot.
you know, one of the main things that is different from America is we have a central source of food and we share it and we take as much as we want or as little as we want. And the hot pot is one example of that.
Yeah, it is actually, you're right. My wife loves spicy food. Like we were discussing, Jiangxi, where my wife's family's from, and she loves hot pot. I mean, whenever we were celebrating, it's like, we're gonna make hot pot. And I'm like, yay! Very interesting also that like heat is based on latitude. It's always hotter south, not only like the temperature, but this food. But
We're talking an interesting thing. You talk about hot or spicy, and somehow in English we associate spicy food like hot peppers with being hot. But in Chinese, there is not this association. The word for hot as in food is la, and the word for hot as in weather is re, or is re or tang.
Okay, so I'd like to talk about taste. Was it wei dou? What is the word for taste? And we got so many ethnicities in China, and so many regions and provinces and everything. So
Okay,
very
we have,
complex character.
well, the character for Wei, you will see some characters, a class of characters, a set of characters, and they have a mouth on the side and then a phonetic on the right. In the case of Wei Dao, which means smell or taste, there's another character, Chi, which has a ko, and on the right-hand side, you have a modification of the character Qi, which means air, or you can extend it to smell. Now, you know that smell and taste are closely related. Well, some people will tell you that there are differences in Chinese food, the virtual styles or styles of Chinese food. So, these styles, in my opinion, note that they are all related to a particular geographical area. In my opinion, their connection to a geographical area is much stronger than their actual connection to the form of the food. So, Chinese will talk about Anhui food, Cantonese food, Fujian food, Hunan, Jiangsu, etc. And people will often ask me, "Do you like Chinese food?" Which I always consider to be a very, very strange question because there's like hundreds of different kinds of Chinese food. When you say Chinese food, do you mean gung bao ji ding or do you mean mahjong mian? What do you mean by Chinese food? There's no such thing.
Especially as when I first came to China, there were certain stereotypes with food that I expected to see in China. Like, I never expected to see cheese in China. And then I know, like, Yunnan cuisine, there's like a cheese dish. Like, I thought, what? That's I can't believe they have that.
Well, I've lived in Guangzhou. You know, there are things that Cantonese are noted for, like dim sum or dianxing. You know, I haven't studied what is supposed to be famous for Nanjing. Nanjing is a huge city now, 10 million people. You can get food from all over China here. So I'm sure it's famous for something, but I really haven't paid attention.
You know what I fell in love with immediately? And I never had this until I came to China. Like the frog. That's the first time I had the frog legs, the spicy soup. I was like, this is so, why do I love this so much? I love the little bones. I love chewing on it.
As far as what I like, you know, I came here and I discovered Sha Xian Xiao Chi, which is Sha Xian is a county, and they have restaurants around the country. And I like Ma Zhang Mian. Oh, there you go again. Ma. I like Ma Zhang Mian and I like Wu Ji Dang. Those are my favorite foods, or at least a couple of them. You know, in Sichuan, we went to the Pixian Doubanjiang. To tell you the truth, it's not really popular in America as far as I know. And in fact, I've never really noticed it. But when I came back, I noticed it and I bought a couple of jars of it. Now I eat it every day. In Chinese, we have the saying, Chi shema bu shema. It means, you are what you eat. And so some people have taken this to extreme, but we won't go there. Well, we have a book in China called Bun Cao Gong Mu, which was written in 1500s. And it's the classical work on Chinese materia medica. And it's mostly hearsay. There are things like Ma Huang. Oh, there's that Ma again. Ma Huang, which is in the Bun Cao Gong Mu. Some of those things are actually proved to be effective medicines. You have to realize that every chemical, everything we have today, is derived from a natural source. And when it comes to Cao Yao, or herbology, herbal medicine in Chinese, we have things that have been proven suspicious of Cao Yao, but I'm also a scientist, so I try to research it.
Here's what, I literally had a early morning slip down the stairs about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was like 5:30 in the morning, I was wearing socks and it was like, you know, flooring that was the stairs, and it made a right angle turn, so one of the steps is really small, and I slipped and I landed right on my shoulder, my left shoulder, and for about over a year, about 14 months, let's say, I was trying to exercise, I was stretching it, I had lost the full range of motion of my left arm. I literally, without extreme pain, lift my hand up over my head and nothing was working. And I literally, it wasn't by my choice. I just had a situation where I was able to go to acupuncturist for free. And this is the crazy thing. And maybe it's like open-mindedness, or I don't know, or it was, who knows what happened in that moment, except that the evidence of me recovering afterwards. And it was my left shoulder, and this guy was sticking pins in my right ankle. I mean, I don't know, he was some kind of guru. And there was a surge, like almost like I'd been electrocuted. Like I felt like someone had hooked me up to an electrical socket, and something went up my leg and then went to my chest and then spread out in every direction after that point. And after that, I had like my arm was back. Everything was fine. And it still is fine. Now that's crazy. I don't think acupuncture can heal things like, to stop cancer or to repair damaged cells. It had to have been neurological. Like it had to have been some kind of tapping into some kind of nerve that created a cascade effect, you know, opening up potassium and sodium channels that for some reason released this like locked shoulder.
Yes. Aquaponics has a very complicated, there's a very complicated theory of yin and yang and five elements that go through the 14 medians and whatever it is, acupuncture points. The problem is that there's no evidence at all that any of these things actually exist. Whereas in Western medicine, you know, there's a nerve. You can like do a surgery or anatomy and you can see it. But a lot of people that have had acupuncture have had positive experiences, but as far as I know, there is no provable cure for any particular ailment. But there are certain things that Chinese know that Western people don't know. I had something called frozen shoulder for years. I took meloxicam, and the doctors in America said, okay, you have arthritis. I came to China, they told me how to cure frozen shoulder. It was cured in a week and hasn't come back. And it was not arthritis. So keep an open mind.
Right.
I just have one rule. If you're having a heart attack, don't go to an acupuncturist.
Okay. Thank you. I knew there was a reason why we should meet. I actually recommended that to my father, you know, but mm-hmm. I'll call him back tonight. So experience overall in Sichuan, what was some highlights? What was the best part for you?
We went to a place where they will dress you up in all of the makeup and costumes and, you know, of the classical Sichuan opera. And maybe you've seen this opera, but until you've like dressed up and put all the makeup on and put all the costumes on and tried to actually pretend to be one of the actors, it's quite an experience.
Natural. Do you remember how long it took to just get into costume, get into character, to be like fully transformed? You were no longer Uncle Hansa.
Uncle Hansa. The face painting fully transforms you and turns you into something else, basically.
You were scary.
It was quite interesting. Of course, all that makeup on your face and then you have to wipe it off, we were kind of like blinded for a while as if we had been swimming in a chlorine-filled swimming pool. But it was quite interesting.
Yeah. And just by trying to go through simple, like, I think he spent like 25 minutes trying to teach you how to enter as your character. And it, you know, it's just so intricate and specific. And then you're wearing all these like headgear, you have to move your props.
Yes, the clothing, the gear we were wearing is not regular clothing. It hampers your movement.
And yet you have to be agile and like lift up your knee and hold it in a specific way for a beat and then spin and move. And then you're wearing this long beard and this like headpiece, which I like kept knocking off as I walked through doorways. It was awesome.
Yeah, there's a form of drama from Sichuan. They have these masks and they're famous for being able to change them almost immediately. They put the masks over the face and then they have a way to pull the masks down and make them disappear. The mask can change almost immediately. We didn't see that in Sichuan this time. I've seen it before. It's quite interesting. But what we did in Sichuan this time was we went to a place that makes you up for a Sichuan opera, as a Sichuan opera character. It's quite impressive how some makeup on the face can actually change your entire persona. That's kind of interesting. The Chuan. Sichuan means the four large rivers. And it's actually four wavy, mostly vertical wavy lines, which indicates the flow of water, in particular a large river, whereas the regular water character only has one wavy line. The traditional character for drama, Zhu, is a tiger and a pig. And ancients, they liked to fight animals and bet on the fighting of animals. So they might pit a tiger and a boar and see which one would win.
What are you talking about? A boar and a tiger? Give me a break.
Yes.
I'm going tiger all the way.
Yeah. Well, the Chinese character is a pig or boar and a tiger and a sword. And the other, that's a traditional character. And so it's basically you have drama, animals fighting and people with swords, but they're not real swords. So it's really too different, unless you can see the character, unless you have time. And then when they simplified it, they made it a knife and a phonetic. And the phonetic is to be born. And that has nothing to do with drama.
All right, great. Thank you so much for telling me the characters and the stories behind them. So what do we got in store next time? What are you going to teach
me?
Well,
next time we're going to Hangzhou, and we have a number of things that we'll show you there in Hangzhou. It's a silk capital of the world, among other things. There's also West Lake. So thank you for listening to my Stories of Chinese Characters podcast series. There are more stories to come. You can tune into our podcasts on radio.cgtn.com or any other major podcast platforms to have a listen. Okay, for related videos, you can find them on the Learn Chinese YouTube channel and the Facebook page. We'll see you next time.